Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
To warn you, this episode contains descriptions of domestic abuse, violence, and sexual assault.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Reporting Depp v Heard. Why, you might be thinking, is he not in the quiet confines of Fairfax County Court? The reason is really too tedious to go into, other than the fact that Uber wanted to charge me $112 to get to court this morning. So I'm exploring the public transport links in the Fairfax County area. This is the metro station, and eventually turned up quite far towards the back of a very long line this morning, which you can see now. It's by far the longest line that you will have seen in the entirety of the, 3 weeks that this trial has gone into. This is the day one of week three. Now, before we get into recapping the events of today in court, here's a clip from 60 Minutes Australia that was released over the weekend featuring my interview with host Tom Steinfort. It went on to cause something of an online stir.
When he became an investigative reporter, Nick Wallace never expected to become an expert on the rise and fall of Johnny Depp. He covered the Hollywood star's first attempt at defamation when he sued the Sun newspaper in the UK 2 years ago. And now he's in the US as Depp sues for libel again, this time taking on his former lover. So if he's so thoroughly defeated in the UK, why then double down in the US and go through it all again?
The judge in Virginia agreed that this Washington Post article was published on servers in the state of Virginia, which then went around the world. So she said, yes, there is jurisdiction in this state. You can sue for libel.
Is he effectively jurisdiction shopping? Just keep going around until he gets the result he wants?
He clearly believes in what he's doing. He clearly believes that he has never laid a finger on Amber Heard. If Johnny Depp loses this trial, his career is toast. I mean, it's not in that good shape anyway. And this is the last throw of the dice. He's trying to persuade some good American citizens in Fairfax County, Virginia, that actually everything he's been saying all along is right. But there is now a body of public opinion, evidence, high court rulings in London that paint him as someone capable of physical violence against his spouse. The more times that he keeps going to the well, the more allegations come out as a result. And, I mean, this goes beyond dirty laundry. I mean, if he is guilty of some of the things that Amber Heard is accusing him of, he should be under criminal investigation.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Okay, time for another park bench interview. Today's guest is a returning guest. Her name is Becca Fontanilla. I met her on day one of Depp v. Heard. She lives here in Virginia and she's a big Johnny Depp fan. And we discussed many things, including what happened in court, but also that 60 Minutes interview and the process of reporting this trial, marshalling the information and actually trying to get it into a way that is interesting, entertaining, informative, but also as objective as possible without being dull. Because it was so impactful, I hate using that word, but it was in the courtroom on Thursday when this clip of audio of Johnny Depp was played where he was asking Amber Heard to cut him with a knife and then threatening to cut himself with the knife. Today, I don't think we didn't hear the audio,
yeah.
But Johnny Depp was invited to give the context to it, which was...
The context was that he had hit rock bottom. She took everything from him, and the only thing he had left to give her was his blood. And so if she didn't cut him, he was going to cut himself.
And on top of that, she wasn't meant to be there. She was breaking
the
terms
the
of this, temporary restraining order on him. So he was surprised that she wanted to have this meeting in a hotel room in San Francisco, and he agreed to it through their mutual agent.
Yeah. It just shows, though, the mental health side of things, which is a very big topic here in America. Mm. I'm not sure.
No, it's a live issue in the UK. Yeah.
But mental health, especially discussing this relationship, he's at the very end of all these details that we've been given thus far from his side of things, where she apparently defecated in his bed and possibly did a whole bunch of other violent things to him, which it does seem that way based on the evidence, in my opinion. And once he's gone through all of this over the course of about three and a half or so years, he's just done. And like, what more can he give to her, you know?
Well, I mean, I suppose to summarize today, the Amber Heard's team spent the morning building up this picture, which we've seen built up many, many times before, both here and in the UK, that he uses violent language, that he drinks too much and takes drugs, and that he is apologizing for unspecified events, which they are alluding to the fact would be domestic violence. And you get to that point. But actually, the most striking thing about today was that actually quite an interesting picture of Johnny Depp's desperation and desire just to remove himself
get
from
away.
Every situation.
Get away.
And how we heard some new, I think, new audio. I might be wrong. I mean, God knows how much audio there is out there.
There is new audio today.
Yeah, where he was reasonably trying to explain why he needed to remove himself from an argument, and she was not letting him. I mean,
she was like, "I'm going to die if you do this."
I mean, and there wasn't just one piece of audio. It was this really troubling thing where saying, "No, you must stay and fight. It's going to get worse if you don't stay and fight."
Yes.
And he was thinking, you could tell him just think, "Well, that doesn't make any sense," and trying to back away. So you did really, I think, get a sense today that the case that he is putting before the jury has got more dimensions to it than the one he was allowed to put before the judge in the UK.
While watching him, this is from my perspective, and he's either listening to something before he gets questioned, or he's speaking about what he's being questioned about, I almost feel like he's still mentally digesting these occurrences.
Right.
You know, like, you can honestly see him reliving or picturing in his brain, because he closes his eyes when he's listening. It's like it's playing, like a movie playing in his head.
Yeah.
You know?
He is quite a circumlocutory speaker.
Yeah.
There was one tweet I saw while I was sort of busy bashing away on the laptop this afternoon, which sort of had Johnny Depp's evidence, and this was the point, and he sort of nearly gets to it and then comes away. And I mean, you know, maybe that's just
an
elliptical way of speaking.
I believe he has ADD or ADHD, and I do as well, but mine is a different type than his. But my daughter has a very similar version of his.
Oh, really?
Where she kind of gets to it, and then she just kind of, oh, wait, there's this over here. Like,
another reason I wanted to speak to you, and I'm very grateful to you for coming back to the park bench, is because I've got it in the neck over the weekend for a couple of things that I've said and done in my newsletter and my interview with 60 Minutes Australia. And this is all part of the learning process for all of us, I hope, because I want to try and explain what I'm trying to do with my journalism. And I think Becca's got a much better insight than I have on the way that language about domestic violence and mental health can play out. And I'm acutely aware that there are a number of people who follow what I'm writing who themselves are victims of domestic violence. And I'm not that tightly attuned to triggering language and how that can upset people. Because there's a, in my view, and by all means challenge me on it, but in my view, there's a possible inherent conflict of interest. Because as a journalist, you're always looking for the strongest line. What is the thing that sticks in your mind?
Which in America is considered
Sensationism?
Clickbait, sensationalism.
Right, exactly.
You know.
And I understand, because, you know, part of my profession is to get people's eyeballs. And if, you know, If there is a subsection of the people who follow what I'm doing who are going to get offended or triggered by what I do, I've also got to sort of think about 90% of people who just themselves aren't going to get triggered and just want to know what the biggest thing has come out of the day. Now, it will be my opinion as to what the biggest thing has come out of the day because it's my journalism.
And it's also a sum up of the day.
Yeah, because you can't write everything. It is in my training to go, what is the headline? I mean, mutual abuse is it? Well, let's talk about mutual abuse because that wasn't Thursday, but it was a line that came out in a previous newsletter. And people were really, really angry about it.
Domestic violence victims have spoken up on social media, which I have pointed out that, you know, that mutual abuse technically doesn't exist. Mm. It's an abusive person.
Well, let's say it's a highly contested term, because if a respected LA doctor is using it, then she must think it exists.
Yeah. Correct. Mm. And it's the fact that there are a lot of domestic violence victims that are in the details of this case, and I would believe a majority of them are on the Johnny side based on everybody that shows up to the courthouse.
Yeah, and based on a lot of the people who kindly funded, you know, my crowdfunded my journalism.
Yeah,
so, you know, I need to be mindful of that.
So a lot of them disliked the headline of mutual abuse. However, I see, based on talking to you, that you were just pulling that line. The 60 Minute interview was another one that stuck out for some with, you know, your hypothetical question.
Yeah.
The hypothetical of, well, if he were to, you know, lose this case, then maybe there might be other repercussions in Australia. And, you know, from my point of view, I always try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I always try to think of things with an open mind. Yes, I know I'm on Johnny's side. And yes, I know that I will probably, regardless of this case, win or lose, be continuing to be a fan of Johnny and watch his movies.
And I just to briefly address the 60 Minutes Australia question, particularly on whether there should be criminal charges against Johnny Depp if he's found guilty. I was asked that as a hypothetical, you know, what, and I said, look, I don't really know what the jurisdiction in Australia is like, because this alleged sexual assault, which didn't come up in cross-examination today, bizarrely, I thought, because I thought they were building up to this.
Right.
They didn't touch it, which makes me
they
wonder whether it's gone away completely.
Possibly there's a lack of evidence.
Or, you know, it's been struck out, or whether it's going to come up during Amber Heard's testimony. I don't know, but but this alleged sexual assault took place in Australia. So I was asked by the Australian guy, if he's found guilty, do you think there will be criminal charges against him? And I said, look, I don't know much about the jurisdiction in Australia, but A, if he is guilty, not if he's found, if he is guilty, he should face criminal charges. If he's found guilty, I suspect there will be people in Australia looking to see whether or not criminal charges can be brought.
Yeah.
Because I believe that if you are guilty of a criminal act, you should face charges. But that was my take. Whether I said that take very well after the, you know, sharp end of a 17-hour day.
I just think that some fans or people who are following this case, they just absolutely cannot accept the possibility that he could be guilty. And I currently, based on what I know, there hasn't been anything yet that has shown me that he is guilty.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I suppose what I want to try and say is that A, I want to learn, and B, I also want to try and explain a little bit about the journalistic process.
Yeah.
There is so much information that
comes
out of court. You know, you're almost overburdened with it just sitting and listening to it. To then try and formulate it into what is the most interesting thing, what's the top line, what's going to get people intrigued by what you're writing. You're filtering stuff out.
I do have a question.
Go on,
You did touch on it a little, but I do want to kind of highlight it. Can you speak personally, from a personal standpoint? What are your thoughts? Take the journalism out.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick.
I don't think I can. And the reason I can't is because I successfully haven't said it to anyone. Not, you know, and I've had good friends come up to me and go, yeah, but what do you really think?
What do you think?
And I've been quite disciplined about saying, I'm not going to give an opinion on this, because I think it's probably better if
educated,
I don't.
An educated...
you're asking a BBC-trained reporter to try and second-guess a jury. I mean, I go back to the thing that I, you know, there was a lot of surprise at the verdict in London. But the judge in that case had seen more of the evidence than anyone else. And you know, we are trained as journalists to respect a court's decision.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, and this is really important, whatever many people think about the truth of it and whatever they've seen, and they may consider the jury to be idiots because they may think that they've considered the evidence more than the jury has, depending on what their decision is. If the jury find against Johnny Depp in this, it's going to be very, very hard for him. It is going to be very, very hard. I mean, a lot has come out in this trial, but if on both sides of the Atlantic you have findings against you which essentially endorse the person you're suing's claims that you were abused. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are lots of different paths the jury could take of this, so it's not going to be a sort of black and white thing. So people who've only taken a tangential interest in this will just go, well, two court verdicts.
Right. Now, what happens if the court verdicts are opposing? What happens
I think the obvious thing would be that it makes it very easy for the American public to re-embrace him and just sort of disregard the findings of a judge thousands of miles away, one person thousands of miles away.
What effect do you think that would have on the UK?
That's a really interesting question. I don't know, because within that jurisdiction, they could still make the claims that they, you know, the Sun newspaper could still call him a wife beater. But then Johnny Depp might, if that then gets published outside the jurisdiction.
I was going to say, is there an American umbrella that they could try to publish that in?
They could say, right, you can put what you like in a British newspaper, but the moment you put that online and that gets read in America, we're suing. But I mean, I imagine Johnny Depp would not want that.
I just want to say, I appreciate you as a journalist who has done your best to report for both sides. I know I'm Team Johnny, but I respect the fact
this is a problem, and I do hear this language from America. I'm not reporting for both sides. I'm kind of reporting...
Well, what I mean by that is you're coming at it from an unbiased point of view, and you're picking from the day that this stuff is happening.
I'm very, very grateful to you and appreciative of you for coming on the park bench a second time, Becca.
Of course.
I quite enjoyed that conversation. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My thanks to Becca for her contribution to this episode. If you want to know what's happening in court tomorrow, Tara Roberts, Johnny Depp's island manager, estate manager on his private island in the Bahamas, will be giving evidence live via video link. Then we've got Dr. Shannon Curry lined up. She is a forensic psychologist who will be in court in person. And then finally, if there is time, and this is all subject to change and this is all unofficial as well, we could be hearing from Officer Sainz from the LAPD. The last I saw of Officer Sainz was when they were subpoenaed to take part in the trial in the High Court in 2020. And we will see what Officer Sainz has to say about her experience of being called to the ECB penthouses and the examinations they then made. So that's potentially all happening tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. The only way to find out for sure is to tune into the live feed, which you can get on Law and Crime's YouTube channel. I think Court TV are doing a similar one as well. Or you can stick around for these reports, which will hopefully digest what's been happening over court into bite-sized chunks. Thank you very much, and I'll see you at the next one. Bye-bye. I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.